crackers, to the hackers and the crackers. I see in binary, I speak source code. Step on my toes, I'll post a million gay pics of you in a fag pose. In your digital stance, getting firewalled, ho. Cause I'm riding the net in my 6-4. I was a dick with my 56. Now with my cable, I'm able to get that stable. On the out, my name is Ace and I'm a Leo. On the digital highway, my name is Neo and I'm a hero. In a flash, I'll school you on burning Dreamcast. You need some ISOs? Let me do my hard drive rifle. Our exchange you could never stifle. In a digital hug, you just caught the love bug. I bootlegged your CD. I caused the fight between Un and Jay-Z. Your CG, it's all gonna be free. Whether we take it by force or we take it nicely. You feel that rattle in your bones? When I tell you we just hacked out Jones. And NASDAQ leaves you flat on your back. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. This is dedicated to the hackers and the crackers. Serial codes, source codes, ISOs, RANs, SIP, SIPs. Dedicated to the hackers and the crackers.
Hey, Mark, excuse me. I'm on my way. Kind of got hung up. It's raining out here. I'm on my way into Dallas. Jerry's probably going to be calling you to find out where I'm at if he can't get a hold of me, I'm sure. So, whoa. Man, I just had a wreck right in front of me. This guy ran a red light and hit four old ladies in an Impala. Just kind of clipped them, turned them around right in front of me, man. That was close. Oh, now this guy's getting out of his car. He's got a white shirt on with a tie and a cigarette hanging out of his mouth. He's throwing his hands up in the air like it was their fault. Oh, hold on. He's going over to their window. She's rolling down the window. Oh, man, I think she sprayed him with pepper spray, man. He's holding his face, and he's on his knee. She's getting out. She's beating him with an umbrella. The other women are getting out, too. There's one woman with a little black person. She's tomahawking him, man. She looks like a Sunbelt 20 horsepower jackhammer. We got another woman she's hitting him like he's got a cattle prod, man. She's got an umbrella and she's sticking it in his side. Oh, there's another one that it's a little woman looks like Mother Goose. She's beating him. She's got this U-bid bag. She's beating him. She's got this U-bid bag. It's huge. It's about the size of her. She's about 4 foot nothing. She hit him over the head. Everything went all over the place. Her Bible fell. She just hit him in the head with a Bible. She picked this Bible up and she lifted it way over her head. It was a hardback NVI version. Oh, they're still beating the hell out of this guy. She picked his Bible up and raised it up above her head and just beamed the guy. This guy's not getting up. They're still hitting him. The one with the little black person still. Oh, pieces of okay, he's up on the car. The little woman just beamed him again with that big bag. He's running to his car. He's out of here. The little bitty Mother Goose woman. She's stuck into him and she's driving off. I wish you would have been here, man. This is too good.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Binary Revolution Radio, episode number 9-0. We are coming to you on April 5th, 2005, and yes, we can literally say that this week because we are cutting it very, very close. We're on another very, very close release this time because, well, I'm old and I need my sleep. So I had to bail out on our co-host this week. Our co-host, of course, I'll go ahead and announce now, is actually, I don't know how this ended up being the case, but this is a first-time co-host for you. Is that right?
Yep, this would be the first time.
Slip Mode from the In the Now show, a good friend of mine who we've met before, and we worked on a presentation, or I guess I should say I made a guest appearance on your presentation at Hope. And we've spoken in the past. I don't know why we've never been able to hook up and do an episode before.
You know, I don't know. I've been really busy. I mean, I still keep in touch with a lot of the people that are in the community and stuff like that. But, yeah, we haven't been on the show. We have done a Radio Freak America together, though.
We did a few of those. But I think our schedules, I work all the time, you work all the time. So I'm glad we actually were able to make this one work out.
Yeah.
So, April 5th, 2005, episode 90. Oh, and the opening that you just heard before you heard Slip Mode and I was an MP3 file that a friend of mine sent me. It is called voicemail.mp3. You'll probably find it floating around in the web if you haven't heard it already. It's one of those things that gets passed around, but I thought that was kind of funny and a pretty good way to open the show. You know, it's always like anything phone freak, phone mail related, so I thought that was a funny opening.
Yeah, that was hilarious.
And also, since we're in the housekeeping section now, I want to remind everyone, actually, Natus wants me to remind everyone, and I want to remind everyone myself, but Natus made it a point to start working more and start updating Old School Freak more often. And he says he's getting a lot of scans that people are sending in, which is cool, and keep sending them in. But he just wanted me to remind people that it's not only about freaking. Old School Freak, yes, it is definitely a freaking heavy site. It is mostly about freaking. I won't say mostly, but it's a lot of it is about freaking. But it's also about a lot of other things. It's always been, Old School Freak has always been a good mix of having articles that are about hacking, about freaking, conspiracy theory, culture jamming. I know it's something that Duel always found enjoyable, so any topics like that, if you've got articles, send them to Old School Freak. Send them in to Natus at oldschoolfreak.com. And, again, contact information on oldschoolfreak.com. That's OSPPHREAK, and school spelled with a K, SKOOL.
So, yeah, and they have a lot of good files up there to begin with. So, I mean, yeah, keep contributing, and it's a great place to, have your freaking resources.
Yeah, yeah, and everything that gets put on Old School Freak, it'll probably take us a while, but because that's also run by DDP, we'll put that stuff over on Doc Droppers eventually. But you know what? It's going to premiere and debut on Old School Freak, so that's the site you really want to watch to get new articles and new scans as they're put up and new items. So, and not only that, I mean videos and audio files. And I don't know if you were aware of this yet, Slip Mode. We just did this recently. We relaunched Old School Freak in the form of a podcast from episode 1. So people who weren't around and did not hear all those original great, great episodes, we released it from number 1 again for the podcasting community. So people who subscribe to that are starting all the way back over with episode 1, and they're going every week with Duel and Rax and Mary Chan and all the crew from Radio Freak America. So that's a pretty cool thing. I still am happy. I'm still so excited about that. And apparently it's been very successful from what I've heard from Natus. So
I remember reading about that.
Yeah, it's I think episode 4. It's up to episode 4, so it's fairly new, fairly recent. The only other thing I have for housekeeping, and this might take a few minutes, is, well, this is April 5th, so a few days ago people might realize that it was April 1st, aka Pwn Day. April Fool's Day. Which we took advantage of that day to play a little prank, to have a little fun, if you will. Some people had more fun than others, apparently, but, you know, it's all good. We did a little April Fool's joke here, and actually, let me back up, because there's really, I wish I had some great, profound story and plan and plot that was behind this, but I'm afraid it's not that sinister, so some of you might be disappointed. Frankly, on the night of April 1st, the short version of the story is that I couldn't sleep. I had a bad case of hacker's insomnia again. I went to bed. It was like 12:30. I couldn't fall asleep. So I got up and do what I always do, walk into the computer, finished a couple articles that I was working on, and I think I might talk about those a little bit later in the show and tell. And then I was sitting there, and I looked in the corner of the clock, at the clock in the corner, and I realized that it was April Fool's Day. So I didn't have any plans whatsoever. I didn't have any intention. I didn't have any big plot or fancy. We've been working on this for months. I wish I could say that, but it's not the case. The case is I was sitting there. I still wasn't ready to go back to sleep, and I figured, you know what? What the hell? I'm going to take the forums offline. I took them offline for the day, and I put up a message that said, I don't remember what the exact words were, but it basically said that the forums have been shut down and were being investigated for misuse or something. I don't remember what exactly I put. I made it very short and very vague, and I said, for more information, see stankdog.com or I think oldschoolfreak.com. So I just put enough out there to make people say, what? Is this a joke? This is, a, you know, first of all, I thought it would be an obvious joke. I mean, it's April Fool's Day, right? I mean, am I wrong here?
Yeah.
You don't believe anything on April Fool's Day. So I thought for sure that, like, most people would just probably be mad that the forums were down for a day and they weren't able to come in and read and post and stuff. I didn't really think anybody would buy into it. I thought it would be an obvious bad joke.
So yeah, April 1st, too, I read, let's see, Gen 2, they do an April 1st joke. Slashdot always does an April 1st joke.
And I like Slash.
Yeah, and Gmail does an April 1st joke, or Google does.
Right.
Always something interesting going on.
Yeah, and I like Slashdots, too, because they do a bunch of them by category. They have a fake science story, a fake there was one about the first computer-to-human virus, I thought, that made me laugh.
Yeah.
They do one by category.
Gen 2 said that they were going to release Gen 2 using the Windows NT kernel.
Oh, no.
And they actually had, like, they actually had 5 or 6 pages developed. They had an FAQ on it. They had an install guide. They had everything but the files. You know, I was reading everything and went through everything, but, you know, the files didn't really exist.
So. Gotcha. See, that, it's fun. I like the April Fool stuff, so I'm glad we started maybe a little tradition. So I didn't think it would go anywhere. Well, I went over to stankdog.com, and I just started kind of writing and freestyling. I figured, you know what, I'm going to try to make it, you know, somewhat believable and sellable. I still thought for sure people would see right through it, but I posted that I was going to be in custody. I'm being taken into custody, that I'm not being arrested, but they wanted to question me about something that someone had done in the forums. And see, this is a little bit of, I really am going to do a social engineering show one day, but this is just a social engineering tactic that I took, of pointing out some things, like saying that I'm playing on what people on people's fears a little bit, because people post stuff in the forum, and we've got rules that say be careful what you post here. If you don't think the feds are not only watching this forum but every hacking site out there, I mean, there's somebody that could look at any time, and I've mentioned on the show we have them hits in the logs. I'm sure you do as well, from the .govs and stuff like that. So, you know what? I figured I'd play on that fear a little bit, a little social engineering tactic, and I posted out there, and instead of making me, you know, oh, Stank Dog's been taken into custody and all this kind of stuff, I kind of twisted it a little bit, said I'm just being questioned because someone else in the forums did something, and I left it vague because I knew that a lot of people in the forums are going to wonder, is it me, is it me?
Yeah.
Or they're going to wonder, who is it, you know? So I still didn't think it would sell real well, but I played that angle and said that I turned over the database of the forums itself. I turned over the last 3 months' logs. Just made up some things and said that I was going to be questioned by different authorities and I was being bounced around all day and I would not be able to update people. So that gives me my excuse of why I don't come back or don't post anything as a follow-up. And I put a note that says, if I am unable to return and update the site, I will contact Natus, who will update oldschoolfreak.com. And the hits on oldschoolfreak.com also spiked on April 1st. So for people who claim that they weren't buying it, yeah, they, oh, no, we didn't buy it. We were just playing along. Oh, yeah, then why did the hits on the site jump so high? Well, I had Natus post a little comment that said, I got a call from Stank Dog in the middle of the night. I haven't heard anything since then. It sounds really bad. I don't know what's going on. Please don't email me. I'll let you know if I hear news. And people were IMing DDP members all day long and sending emails and all kinds of stuff. It was hilarious. Some people still knew right away it was a joke. We didn't fool some people, but we fooled quite a few. So halfway through the day, I decided to turn it up a notch, and I called Natus. I called him on the phone and then sent him a text file. I made a fake SMS message. I had already set up the scenario, and I think you'll get a kick out of this. I already set up the scenario that I was being questioned, that I wasn't really under arrest. So I sent an SMS message to – I didn't really, but I sent – I told Natus to post a comment that says he got an SMS message from me, from my cell phone. It wasn't really the truth. I actually typed it up in a text file and mailed it to him, and he put it up. But the text message – again, you got to think from a social engineering standpoint. How do you sell something like this? Well, first of all, people typing SMS messages on their cell phone, they have a tendency to abbreviate things. They have a tendency to skip words grammatically incorrect just because it helps them type faster out of pure laziness, and I think everybody will admit that they do that. And sometimes if your message is too long, it'll get cut off. If anybody wanted to be really particular, they could have looked and realized that my message was cut off. I could have made a much longer message. I claimed it was being cut off when it really, if they knew what the limits were for SMS messaging, they would realize that I was cutting it off too soon. Nobody looked that closely, I don't think. But I sent about 7 or 8 different lines, a.k.a. different SMS messages, putting together this little story that said something to the effect of, Natus, I am still being questioned. And, of course, I cut off the word questioned in the middle or something like that to make it look real. I still have my phone. I am not under arrest. I'm sending you this message to let you know that they're not after me. They're after someone in the forums who apparently posted some kind of code. And I used a bunch of short words to make it look like a real SMS message, and I had Natus post that on Old School Freak saying he just got an update.
Oh, wow.
So that just set it into motion even worse. You know, at this point, I knew I'd gotten some emails and some IMs. I stayed off of IM all day, actually. But other people had gotten IMs they forwarded me. From people that were starting to get concerned. So I figured, as long as it's working and I'm selling it, let's take it a step further. So I did that, and then it really took off even more because people just didn't know if we were joking or not. And you know what? Hackers are paranoid by nature. So
exactly.
Well, and this was on my lunch break, I did this from work. So towards the end of the day, around 4:30, and I'm getting ready to go and leave. I was actually getting ready to go to my 2600 meeting. Oh, and that's another little thing I put in to sell it. I posted something on my 2600.com, FL2600.com, in the comments for the meeting that says, sorry guys, I won't be able to make it. I had some serious legal problems occur last night. So if anybody, if anybody did any research to try to see if it was fake, I gave them that comment so they'll be like, oh my God, he's not going to his meeting. I was really selling it at this point. So the last thing I did was around 4:30, I hopped on IRC. And the BinRev channel on irc.esper.net, channel BinRev. And I thought I'd just kind of sit and listen. I went in under a fake name, listened for a few minutes to see what was going on. And here, actually, I'm going to tell you a little funny story here that I'm going to actually pwn somebody on the air here that doesn't know any better. I went on there under a fake name, and I just started kind of listening to everybody. And it was, you know, it was a lot of bravado going on. Oh, it's not real, it's all fake, but what if this and what if that? You know, they were all saying they don't believe it, but you should have heard the way they were talking. People were wiping their hard drives and deleting files and shredding things and stuff like that.
Oh, man.
Well, I should back up just a little bit and let everybody know that the forums were down to normal members, but moderators and DDP members still have access to the forums and admins. So the whole time that you guys are out there wondering what's going on, we're inside laughing our asses off at you. We were posting messages in there about ideas of let's sell it worse and let's do this. So everybody was in on it. So if you want to get mad only at me, no. Get mad at Black Ratchet. Get mad at everybody that was playing along. Natus knew. Everybody knew what was going on the whole time. Droops was selling it real well. So in IRC, I see Black Ratchet's in there, and he's selling it, playing along. Hack and Slash is in there. And Droops, I think, was in there for a little bit. The funny thing is that none of them knew that I was in there because I had come in under a fake name. And so people want to know what name I was in there under. Well, the name I went in, first thing that popped into my head was Jamie Madrox, a.k.a. the Multiple Man, if anybody reads the old X-Factor comics. And I figured I'm playing somebody different, a Multiple Man, it fits, so I was Jamie Madrox. So if any of you have logs, you can go back and look. And I started playing to the paranoid. I came in as though I was this paranoid hacker. And I'm like, oh my God, what's happened? What's going on? Is this real or is it an April Fool's joke? I started playing the paranoid hacker part. And I was, again, SEing, just playing along, trying to plant seeds in people's heads. And I started making up all these stories about how I had a record and they were coming after me and I posted something and if I get busted, I'm going to prison and I was going to run for the border. I was really selling it. So Hack and Slash, see, the first thing I did was when I got on there, I called Black Ratchet on the phone. And I told him, I said, hey, I'm Jamie Madrox, by the way. I just joined and I'm lurking to see what's going on, so I want to let you know it's me. So he and I were chatting. Well,
did you do anything to disguise your host?
I didn't.
Did you recognize your previous host?
No, exactly. I did not. And I can't believe that somebody didn't look that up. Now, people might not have known the host I was coming from at work. I'll give it that. But somebody would have noticed it was coming from Florida and should have caught on to that. And I expected it. And I was prepared to bail if that happened. But yes, nobody picked up on that. I was shocked at that. So it would have resolved to something a little bit confusing anyway, but that's another story. But the second thing I did is after letting Black Ratchet know, I sent a private message to Hack and Slash, and I think I just said something like, peekaboo, I see you. I figured that was a hint to let him know that it's me. You know, that's a weird thing to say, right? Who's going to send a message that says, peekaboo, I see you? His response was, well, duh, it's IRC, or something like that. So I'm like, you dumbass, you don't get that I'm trying to tell you it's me? I can't come out and say it's me because I don't know if he's really Hack and Slash. Somebody else could be using his handle, right?
Yeah.
I figured, you know what? I'm going to mess with Hack and Slash, too. So as far as he knew, he was talking to somebody named Jamie Madrox. Hack and Slash, I'm sorry to pwn you on the air, buddy, but that was me the whole time, sending you private messages talking about what an asshole Stank was and how I was going to kick his ass when I saw him and that it was not a joke and that I was going to Mexico and freaking out. Hack, sorry, man, that was me, buddy. So, anyway, I played along. I was out in the IRC channel for a while, and I kept posting things to stir people up, like, hey, do you think it has anything to do with this? Or what about that one time that? And I'm just planting seeds because people pick up on them and then go, you know what? Yeah, maybe that's it. Oh, you may be right. After I planted enough seeds, I just left, and I let it simmer for the rest of the day. I went to my 2600 meeting. I went to go see Sin City afterwards, which, by the way, did you see Sin City?
No, I haven't had a chance to. I want to go see it, though.
What an awesome movie. That was a very, very cool movie. Too many nut shots, but other than that, it was a good movie. So I saw that. I got home about 2 in the morning. I turned the forums back on and went to bed and let everybody know that it was a joke. So I hope everybody had fun. It was a joke. I know some people got a little mad that it wasn't funny or poor taste or whatever. And the people who sent me emails thinking it was real, I appreciate it. People were actually concerned, and I felt bad about that. But you know what? It was all in fun. I think everybody understands that. So we'll see what we can pull off next year. It's going to be a lot more difficult next year, though. You didn't do anything for Slipknot?
No, actually, no, I haven't gotten into that, in doing that, but that's probably a good idea to do. We don't have a lot of, like, we do have a forums on there, yeah, but we don't have a lot of, like, constantly changing pages and stuff like that. It's, you know, most of the updates are for the shows, and then, of course, like, you know, people posting to the forums, but no, I haven't thought of doing that.
We might have to collaborate next year, same thing we did with Old School Freak. We might just have to work together and sell one big total thing. So, Mark, here it is. You're getting a one-year notice. If you forget 1 year from now and get owned again, you've been warned.
It's all their fault.
Exactly. All right. Well, let's see. I think it's email time. And our first email this week comes from Parrish. Parrish says, Dear Stink Log. Apparently, Parrish there has a little typing problem. It's Stank Dog. But okay, Stink Log, we'll go with that. Ratchet is so right about speakeasy. These folks are very knowledgeable and Unix friendly. They know how to hammer the telcos to get a resolution quick, which I've needed to take advantage of on 2 occasions. during either of those two issues, they had COVID SBC techs in my driveway within 36 hours. I recommend their one-link 6-megabit RADSL lines, which go for about $100 and don't require Bell service. Well, that's cool. Since my physical line issues were resolved, I've only had about 2 hours of scheduled downtime in the past 6 months. Kudos on the past few shows, Hack TV, and all of the sites. Keep up the bad work. All right, Parrish, we will keep right on sucking the joint up because you, the listeners, demanded it. We suck because you ask for it. That should be our new motto. As I have a little sip of grape soda there. I don't know why I'm on a grape soda kick, but...
Grape soda is good stuff.
I loved it when I was a kid, and ever since Interzone, I've been on a grape soda kick. I don't... It's weird. Because all the machine
Yeah, I go through soda phases. I'm loyal to, like, a certain soda for a while. It was Mountain Dew. It went to Gatorade. Now it's Lipton tea. You know, the sweetened Lipton tea.
Yeah, and I'm glad... You know, this is a weird tangent, non-technical tangent I'm going off on here. But while I was up in Interzone, which was in Atlanta, and I know you weren't able to make it, but I know you had Rocket on the show.
Yeah.
And talked about it.
We did interview with Rocket.
Which was very cool. I listened to that. While I was up there in Atlanta, well, the reason I'm on the grape soda kick is because they had a vending machine there, and everything was sold out except the diet stuff and the grape soda. And I don't drink diet. I don't do diet. Nasty. So I started drinking grape soda, and I've been on a kick ever since. But the other cool thing about Atlanta that I love and I miss about being in the South is every restaurant has sweet iced tea. And specifically, you mentioned the Lipton iced tea, the bottled stuff. The stores in the South, meaning not Florida, unfortunately, the stores up in the South have something called Southern Style Extra Sweet in the bottles. And it's the same tea, it's just a little bit sweeter than normal. And, oh, I loved having that while I was up there. For those couple of days, I got Voodoo Hal actually brought me a bottle back when he went down on a beer run. Brought me back some extra sweet Lipton iced tea, and I wanted so bad to just bring a couple cases back home with me because they don't have it down here. How can it be a Lipton?
Yeah, just like in Arizona, we have a few things that are, you know, little local kind of like Hispanic drinks and food and candy and stuff like that you don't really find anywhere. When I went to Florida, I mean, I couldn't even find a Mexican joint. It was even impossible.
Yeah. Well, we have a lot of Spanish foods and restaurants, but not Mexican. You know, they have different styles down here. And there's some different drinks. I've tried some of that Malta and stuff like that. Ugh, I can't stand it. Anyway, you know, we did this last week. We went on a soft drink tangent last week and again this week. I guess hackers and soft drinks have a link or something, I guess.
My favorite Hispanic drink would be machaca, which it's like rice milk. Sounds kind of disgusting saying rice milk, but it tastes really good. It's real sweet.
Have you ever tried that banana-flavored soda, the carbonated stuff?
Uh-uh.
Oh, that's nasty. Oh, yuck.
Oh, that's nasty.
Oh, it's bad stuff.
You've heard it here now. No banana-flavored soda.
Well, somebody might like it, but I don't... Yeah, I couldn't. I didn't like it. Okay. All right, anyway, let's go back onto some tech topics here. And actually, this email is related to the previous one. Tom in Chicago writes, "Dear Stank Dog, I'm about halfway through listening to episode 89, and I wanted to add to Black Ratchet's props to Speakeasy for their tech support. I've had Speakeasy for about 3 or 4 years now, and they have the best tech support I've ever had to deal with, and I used to work with tech support. They're the only group that will admit if they do not know what the cause of a problem could be, and if they did, and if they didn't know the answer. They will get back to you with solution fairly quickly. I've had a couple of issues with my DSL lines over the year, and each time, if they had to call me back, they did. Sometimes I would even get 2 callbacks. Anyway, just wanted to add props to Speakeasy, and I am one of the listeners that love the show. Can't wait for the new issue of Binary Revolution to be released. I have the first 2. Keep up the great work." If you have the first 2, you're actually missing a 3rd one. We have 3 issues of the magazine that are released, and a 4th one that is getting closer. Trust me, I promise you, it's getting closer. But I think the moral here, and I think we'll put this to bed, it sounds like we have a consensus that Speakeasy has kick-ass tech support.
Yeah, actually, Speakeasy, if I'm correct, I believe they're owned by a company called PureGig, and actually PureGig is here in Phoenix, and they are an ISP. Well, maybe I don't know if they own it, but I know that they host Speakeasy's servers here. When you go to like the SourceForge and you like want to grab something, right. And you'll see Phoenix, Arizona. They have one that's down there, and I've been in their facility. It's awesome. They have 7 gigabits of bandwidth.
Wow.
7 gigabit. They have, they use about 4 or 5 different carriers for redundancy, and
right.
I've been in their facility, and it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, if you've never been in a big ISP and a big backbone provider, a big ISP provider, and not that I have to admit, I've never been into a big one, but I mean, I worked for a company that had a very large data center, and I've seen, I mean, I love a good computer room. To me, it's like a work of art. Having the raised floors and the air conditioning and the water detection and the car and the Halon and all that kind of stuff. We had just a wonderful, wonderful data center in the company I used to work for. And I know what it's like in a small data center. I would just marvel to see one of the large data centers. Go to like, I'm not sure, like servermatrix.com or 1in1.net. Go to their website, and I think most of the big ones offer pictures of their data center and some of the insides, and take a look. I mean, it's just such a cool visual. It's just such a cool thing to look at to me.
Yeah, I've been in that one, and I've been in AT&T's data center down here, and it's insane. You just like you walk by the machine, and you just wonder what the hell like runs on all this stuff. Like one area was just like you know all Sun equipment and just like blades and everything, and it was just you know wall to wall just Sun. And then I saw another area that had at least 300 Dell servers, and they're just all on racks sitting up there. And I'm thinking, I'm like, what do they do? You know, with all this, we had a web server that I used to run that was down at one of these places, and we got it. And you have, you know, there's the handprint detection mechanism over at AT&T that they use to get in there, and then, you know, your IDs and all that stuff. And there's, you know, there's a handprint that you have to do just to get into one area of doors, and then you got to do it again to get into the next. And we walk around and look at everything. It's pretty crazy. And then over at the Pure Geek site, you see all these, you know, fiber lines just coming in. They had about, about 5 or 6 fiber lines coming, and then they have these devices that do fail over for the fiber and everything like that. One line goes down, it automatically switch over to the next one, and they had, I think the guy said that they had 43 security cameras, you know, and it's all backed up. I think they could back up. They said 3 months worth of video. You know, they had their own diesel generator, but then they had these huge, battery backups to where if the power went out, it'd run off the battery backup enough time for the generator to kick in. They had a chiller unit. They had, it's just amazing. They've got everything in these places, and it's just you look at it, it's kind of amazing. One thing I did find, though, I found one little security problem, and I won't say which one it was, but they had a power strip. You get a power strip that goes for each little cage. The power strip had a reset button on it. So
is that a reset for the? Is that
when I spoke to the guy, I said, "Look, I said this power strip. It's right on the edge of the cage. I said if somebody wants to come over and hit that reset button, that's it. It drops it." So that's kind of an insecurity right there, is having that little reset button. So if you have whatever redundancy you have, power wise, they usually rely on the building. They don't really rely on putting their own battery back up in there. So you pop that button, and it cycles the power.
Yeah,
so it's not very good.
Yeah, that's,
to have that.
And some people would argue about the biometrics with the handprints or whatever to get in the building. You know, those have been proven to have some vulnerability. But you know what? The thing is that you're not relying on that and that alone. It's just, you know, physical security is DDR, delay, detect, and respond. So
yeah, Pure Geek, they use the key fobs. You just wave the wand next to that. I don't know which one I'd like better, but the AT&T one seems a little bit more secure, but, either way, it's going to be tough to get in there.
Right. So it's a combination of all of those things, detect, delay, response, and just delay them from getting in until you do detect them or find them and then respond to them. So you know what? It's all those things combined, and it's a good thing. And the reason they probably have all those Dells, now that you mention that, is for storage of all that damn 43 cameras worth of data.
Oh, yeah. Actually, well, that was over at AT&T, and that was just one of their clients. But usually, yeah, when I see large things like that, all I do is think of storage,
right.
or maybe they're a hosting company, and they're actually using AT&T as their pipe, so maybe those are all, little web servers and stuff like that.
Right. Yeah, I actually...
Just to jump in, have you seen how Gmail's counting up its megabytes that your storage capacity gets?
Yeah, that was pointed out. And I think they started it like around April 1st or something, because didn't they start Gmail on April 1st and everybody thought it was a joke? A gigabyte of storage for email, and everybody thought that was the email joke, or that was the April Fool's joke, and it wasn't. And this year, for the one-year anniversary, they bumped it up to 2, and everybody thought that was the joke. No, it's not only 2, but it's climbing.
It was 2 gigs and 60 megabytes. It was counting really fast, and actually now I think they added like another decimal or so, and they slowed it down. But it's like it's counting forever. I mean, it's kind of interesting.
Yeah, it is. It's and if you read their fact, they're basically saying, if we could, we would just put it completely unlimited, but the point they're trying to get across is, think of it as unlimited. We're going to keep adding it as long as there's demand and need for it. As long as people keep using it, they can justify buying it or upgrading it, I guess is what their point is.
Yeah, because they say Gmail stands for growth mail, actually, is what they say.
Oh, I never heard that before. That's interesting.
Yeah, I read on their site. Yeah, I went through the whole FAQ and everything like that. G, I guess, stands for growth.
Oh, I don't remember seeing that. Interesting. All right, well, let's go through some more emails here. Let's burn through a few of these. We're getting into the show pretty deep here. next email here comes from Super. Super, is that right? I think, yeah. So, it says, in the last show, Doug was asking about setting... Okay, hold on a second here. Last show... Okay, it's kind of hard when people say last show because I don't know which one they've listened to or if they're caught up to the most recent one. Last show was Doug asking about setting multiple TCP flags in a single packet, such as in the case of a SYN plus ACK response on a SYN packet and half-open scans. I don't think that was Doug was on episode 88, and I don't think we talked about that on 88 with Doug. Doug's probably has no clue what we're talking about here. That's probably Black Ratchet and I talking about this on 89 last week, I think, unless I just forgot about it, but... Anyway, let me continue. This is possible because the flags in the TCP header is a bit mask. You can set as many of the flags as you want. In an NMAP Christmas scan, all of the flags are set. The PSH or push is used to regulate buffering on the receiving end. The data accumulating from the TCP stream may be held in kernel memory buffers before being delivered to the userland application. The push flag reinforces this delivery. I enjoy your show and keep up the good work. Hope this helps. All right, Super. Thank you very much for clearing that up. I do appreciate the... Anytime we're not clear on something or there's a question out there, by all means, feel free to email and either point out a mistake or help explain something better if we didn't go into it in detail or if we glossed over something and didn't touch it at all. Always welcome email from people that want to add to it or give us some tips and stuff like that. So...
You know, one thing too, doing that the half opens were just the SYN ACK, and then you don't, you know, does a SYN, you send a SYN that says ACK that you got the SYN, and then you send an ACK back saying you got the ACK. But when you do the SYN ACK and it does a half open, that's actually another way of doing like a denial of service is to you know run their buffer up with open connections and you never close them. So that's
that was like the original. Those were like the first wave of DOS attacks were like that, weren't they? That was pretty much the style of the first. The first ones that ever came out, that was it. That's what they did.
Mm-hmm.
And then they kind of expanded the definition of denial of service to being any type of denial of service, which makes sense. I do like the definition. But the very first ones that defined the term were exactly what you described.
Yep.
So, let's see. Next email comes from Booter. Booter says, among a few other things, I trimmed out a couple things that have already been said, but... This part here, this pertains to Yahoo tech support only. Below is the easiest way to reach a supervisor. Inform the agent that you need to speak with a supervisor and then verify all the information on the account that the agent asks for. Please note that you will only get a supervisor if you have a site hosted by Yahoo. Keep that in mind. That's a good little tip to know in case any social engineering or something you might want to do. That's the only way you're going to get to a supervisor is to say that to the first level people. So that's a good little tip. I'm sorry, I said that, not him. I don't want to get him in trouble. The easiest way to get your situation resolved is to be nice to the agent, no matter how pissed off you are. Yelling and cussing at the agent will only get your call glorified, also known as released. I guess that's their special term internally, is to call it glorified. And Buddha goes on to say, same goes for when you speak to a supervisor. They are more release happy than the agents. If there is something they can do about it, then they will do it. However, they don't have contact with their engineers, so if your shit has been escalated and they can't answer your question, don't get pissed. It is out of their hands. All right, Booter, thank you. That is a very interesting tip. That is good to know. And as I said before, that could be a come in handy for some social engineering for whatever reason. If you ever can't get satisfied from the initial agent that's on the phone, you may have to trick your way to get a supervisor on the phone. Now, even allegedly they're only supposed to help if you have a site hosted by Yahoo. Maybe once you get them on the phone, you can then press your SE skills a little bit more to try to get them to help you anyway. So that is a good, good tip. Thank you very much, Twitter.
Was it about a year back or whatever? Didn't the New York Times put a listing of the codes to put if you call up certain tech supports or certain companies to get straight to the human being and pass the the whole voice system?
I don't remember the New York Times doing it. I know that they've seen that kind of stuff on the web before historically. I haven't seen one recently, but I think these days. Yeah, I don't remember the New York Times.
There are some people
out
there that do publish the quick way, to get past, voice systems and stuff like that to get yourself to a human, too.
Well, that is cool. You know what?
Those things have been pretty helpful.
If there is anybody listening that has, a fairly recent one or a site that has that on it, email us. I would like to see it. I do remember seeing it a long time back. I'm just curious as if somebody still maintains or upkeeps anything like that these days.
Yeah.
That could be very interesting because, for the most part, I think everybody knows you try to hit operator, you try to hit zero, you try to hit pound zero, star help, star seven, all these different,
yeah,
you just guess.
And they try to get a little bit more quick, they try to get more, they try to be ahead of the customer that's, learn those type things, and then they hide it even further, they make you go one more level deeper, and then I found that the zero didn't work the first level, but now the second level it works, and yeah, it's kind of the war to beat the machine and get to the human,
Yeah, I still have a couple tricks that I've, I'm not going to hold them back. I mean, I'm sure other people have tried these too. They're not like my personal, but there's two things that I still have work regularly for me. One, don't press anything, hang on the line. If it doesn't get a response, sometimes, yes, they will hang up on you. It requires a touchtone phones. But other times, if it doesn't get a response, it automatically drops to an operator. So that's one trick that you could try on a lot of places. The other trick is to just pound the hell at the numbers on the keypad. It overloads, I guess in a weird, not a DOS, but it overloads the system, confuses it, and it bumps you out to an operator because it doesn't know what the hell you want at this point. You press so many numbers in such rapid succession that it doesn't try to do it through the computer and it sends you out to a real operator. So that's two other tricks that I use a lot, and they are very successful still. So there's a little useful information on the show. How about that? How'd that squeak in? How'd we let that happen? Oh, okay. So let's see. Next email here comes from Cypress. Cypress says, to my digital dog and his co-host, that would be Slip Mode, I just wanted to give you my opinion on your show. I hate emails that start like that already usually go bad right away. but this one doesn't. He says, episode 89 was amazing. I really loved how you guys had fun and it wasn't all just tech. I personally enjoyed your fine conversation on soft drinks. I am a Coke guy myself. Oh, boo, Coke. As for
I'm actually am a Pepsi guy.
Really?
So.
I'm not. I'm just teasing. I'm not that particular. Soda. I mean, I drink RC. I'm from the South, man. RC Cola, man.
Yeah.
So there. Actually, I don't drink enough to really tell that big of a difference. I guess I probably do like. I probably like Pepsi, RC Pepsi better than Coke, but I'm not like I'm Don't care either way. I can tell the difference. If they send me down for, remember those old Pepsi challenges when we were kids? Where they'd hide the Coke and Pepsi? Oh, I could always tell which one was which. I can tell the taste of them both. I don't prefer one over the other one exactly, but I can tell the difference.
I think Coke to me tastes a little, like, harsher. You can feel the bubbles a little bit more than the Pepsi.
Yeah, I think so. And the Pepsi's a little sweeter, I think, but... Yeah, this is like the soft drink. We need to make a spin-off show.
This was 90s. What's your choice for Hacker Sodas?
Jolt Cola. Hackers everywhere, right? That's the cliché drink. We all drink Jolt. Jolt and Mountain Dew. I think those are the big clichés, right?
Mm-hmm.
Truth be told, most hackers are shit-faced drunk drinking alcohol. At least at the conferences, the conventions. Let's see. Those, of course, who are of legal drinking age, we do not condone underage drinking on Binary Revolution Radio. Don't sue me. Anyway, where was I here? As for the CEH, I enjoyed you reading the questions. Is there a website where you can get those preview questions? Also, can you take the test online? Finally, how much does it cost to take the CEH exam? Of course, CEH is Certified Ethical Hacker, is what the CEH exam. Keep up the great show, and please ignore all the haters who be hating on you. All right, thank you, Cypress. First of all, a little bit of Googling is going to find you those questions. I mean, come on now. You can find plenty of sample questions out there and some downloadable exams, some simulation exams that you can download and install that have questions built into them. The exam itself is computerized, yes. So can you take it online? Yeah, it is an online exam. However, you have to take it from a certified testing center. You can't just sit at home and take it. You actually have to go to an authorized place, just like any other certification, whether it's Oracle certification, Microsoft, Cisco, whatever. Most of those, you're going to have to go to an authorized agency, an authorized company, and take the exam there on site. They have to be certified. So this one is no different. But once you get there, ironically, you will then connect to the website and take the test remotely. It's a controlled environment, of course, because they know they have proxies there that are watching you to make sure you're not cheating. They have people on site. They have all the equipment and stuff set up and prepared and ready to go. So it is a controlled environment, but technically, yes, you're taking the test remotely on the, for example, EC Council servers. So, and what else did you ask? Oh, the test itself is like around, I think, $150. And, of course, that's going to... I guess that's going to vary. I don't know if some schools charge more, but I think that's the official price. I think it's $140 or $150 from EC Council. And the classes, however, that's where the big money is. The classes, especially like the boot camp ones where they try to cram it all into 5 days nonstop all-day stuff, which is what I've been exposed to, the classes can run, and of course this does vary from school to school, place to place, et cetera, a lot of other factors. Sometimes who's teaching the class? Some people have better reputations than others. You get instructors that have been teaching it for a while. You know, it might be worth it. They might cost a little bit more, but it might be worth it to take it from them. So, but they run anywhere from $4,000 to $8,000, I think I've seen as high. And maybe even more. I haven't really looked into it too much. So that ought to give you a little bit of information. And I've said this on the show before. And Slip Mode, I don't know if you'll agree with me or disagree with me on this, but I've always said that any type of education is good, it's positive, no matter what. Certification's great, college education, taking night classes, all of it is helpful and great. However, put a little bit of perspective into this. This is called certified ethical hacking. Who is it certified by? Like, for example, if you get a Microsoft certification, it's certified and backed by Microsoft. If you get an Oracle certification, it's Oracle that certifies and backs it up. They make the questions. They make sure people aren't doing what they want to be done. In the case of the CEH, who is certifying it? And do you care or trust what their certification is coming from? To me, and I said this before, so we won't go too long into this, if DDP certified a hacking test, I would have some faith in it. I would know that we have guys looking at it that are hackers, that know what they're doing, that have the experience, and that would carry more value to me personally. This is not certified by anybody that has any credibility as far as I'm concerned. Now, again, I'm not putting it down. It is still something good to have, and I encourage people to do it. You learn a lot from it. just put it in perspective. It does look good on your resume. It does carry weight in the industry, especially if you're looking for a penetration testing jobs or security jobs. It is definitely valuable in those realms. But as far as on a personal note, to me, it's kind of like being a certified... I can't even make a comparison. Certified driving instructor from somebody who only knows how to ride a motorcycle. You know, it doesn't quite... I can't make a good example. Am I making any sense at all?
No, I understand what you're saying. I mean, yeah, it's just, you know, you want to make sure that there's, you know, that there's... I mean, every certification, like, for instance, like the CISSP, I mean, to make it, you know, certified information system security professional, they do something where you have to have at least minimum 4 years experience in that realm to even apply, to even take the test.
Right.
And I think actually every year, every 2 years, something like that, I think you have to, like, get in touch with them and let them know, like, have you been keeping up on it and stuff like that. Or, like, you know, the CCNA, Cisco Certified, you know, Network Associate, that, you know, you have to retake that every 3 years. So some of these people have they're not only accredited, but they've also required you to do something deeper to give even, you know, the certification, like, more worth, you know, minimum 4 years experience, you know, retake the test every 3 years, you know, to see that you're not outdated, you know, and stuff like that. So,
right, that's good.
But you definitely want to make sure there's some importance to it, stuff like that, because it's definitely a reputation thing, and if you're a part of that reputation or whatever that, you know, certification is, you want it to boost your resume and stuff like that, and that's really what it's all about. So stakes, you know, talking about making sure that it's really in line with what things should be to boost your image and resume.
Right. I just want to clarify expectations, basically. Just know what you're getting in for, know what the value of it is to others, which is a lot. But it didn't have a lot for me personally because it felt kind of, who are they to... You know what? I felt I was pretty certified as a hacker before I took this thing, you know? I didn't really feel like I had to prove anything and take a test to get that. So, on a personal note. However, yes, it's definitely great to have in the industry. And, you know, I've also been on the tangent before about what constitutes ethical. Because hacker ethics are different than the ethics that the business world teaches, and the business world makes this exam, so they're forcing their ethics onto you.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
That's a whole nother
thing. Yeah, so that's kind of like, yeah, mixing into a little bit of kind of politics of what, you know, what that really is.
Yeah. All right, well, let's burn through here. We're starting to get behind in the email. Let's jump through these and then get to our main topic tonight. I've got two more emails. First one comes from Zero Byte. Zero Byte says, "Stank Dog, on one of your older shows, you received an email stating that one could obtain a free AS400 shell from www.texas400, that's Texas and the number 400.com. Well, I checked it out, gave the guy a call, and I'm now freely plugging away at an AS400 shell. Between the tutorials on the Texas400.com website and your downloadable speech on the introduction to AS400, there's an abundance of information for even the lame person to begin learning this seemingly complicated OS. Thanks for introducing me to yet another new technology venture, and keep up the great work." Now, see, this is like, I love this email because, to get corny, I mean, I love this email. I did a presentation on this because not many people know about it. And it's not so much an AS400 thing, like I'm trying to get everybody on the AS400 or anything. It's just that it's another thing that I found interesting that I wish there was more information on. That's why I wrote the article. That's why I've made the presentation. I showed the presentation and not article. Maybe I should do an article, but they made the presentation, played the MP3 on the show, because I wanted people to know it's out there, and I was hoping someone else would find it as interesting as I did. And knowing that at least one person actually followed up on it makes it completely worthwhile. It justified any of the time and all of the time that I spent, even if this one person followed up and actually gets into learning something new, even if it's just for the short term, for the new factor of it, just to try it out. The fact that you're willing to do it makes totally makes it worthwhile, absolutely. And I hope you like it, And feel free to email us, contact me if there's any questions or anything. I can try to help you. It's been a few years since I've been out of the 400, unfortunately, but I can try to help you as much as I can, so feel free to contact me on that. And our last email this week comes from Neil. Neil says, "Hey, Stank, just a quick email to say thanks for all the shows. Like many others, I've come across the show more or less by accident, but then trawled through the archives and found lots of interesting and entertaining content. The reason I finally decided to write in is that I've heard the real player sucks topic come up a few times, and I know of a solution." Well, yeah, I have a solution too, don't use real, but yours is better, though. "Just Google for real alternative, and you should be able to Google for, quote, real space alternative, end quote, and you should be able to find a player that plays real audio and video just fine. Seems to be an old version of Windows Media Player. There's also a QuickTime alternative, same deal. Hopefully this will ease your suffering. Cheers, and keep up the good work." Yeah, I hate real. I've always hated real. I always will. But the reality of real, unfortunately, is that some sites use it. And if you want to see the content, you have to have the damn player installed. And I hate it, so...
I honestly, like, will not download that player for the life of me. If there's something on there, even if I really want it, I'm like, you know what? No, I'm not going to download
it. It's horrible. The quality's horrible. It's always buffering. It's just terrible. And the spyware, they went through... supposedly they're spyware-free now, I've heard. But they went through a while there where their thing was loaded with spyware. It's ridiculous. But it's good to know that there's an alternative, an old version of Media Player may play it. So I might look into that. I don't know if it'll peacefully coexist with a new version of Media Player. I guess if you just put it in a different directory, just the .exe file or something.
I actually have an old program it's called Streambox Ripper, and Real Media, they had attacked this company for making this program, which allowed, it basically converted real audio files into MP3s. So I used to do a lot of converting for that. Their newer version of Real, though, their you know, newest codec or whatever you want to call it that they use, doesn't work with this program, but older stuff. I used to use that to convert it all the time over to MP3s.
Hmm. Is that program still maintained? Will they possibly update it to work with a new codec, or...
No, that company, actually, they used to have it on the web, and this is probably about 3 years ago, and it did work probably up until like last year. I don't remember which version now that it stopped working on, but they actually had like a cease and desist, you know, to stop having this program on their website, saying that it was, you know, violating their intellectual property and made them take the program off their website. So I actually found it, you know, somewhere out there in Russia, you know, and downloaded it.
It's always going to be out there. Once it's released on the internet, it's out there.
Yeah.
Just got to know where to look. All right, well, let's wrap up the mailbag there. And you know what? This was a good week for mail because we got a lot of tips from people. You know, tips about Real Player and tips about... Speakeasy, backing up what their great tech support is, and Yahoo tech support. We got a lot of good tips this week. That's good stuff. I like emails like that. Let's do a quick show and tell. I actually have been working on a lot of stuff this past couple weeks, but let's do a quick show and tell, and then we've got maybe 20 minutes or so to talk about our main topic tonight. So let me do a little quick show and tell, because I have had a busy month myself, if I may go first. Well, besides pwning noobs, little joke there, I've been doing a lot of traveling this month and war driving as I go around, so I've been doing a lot of that, and I'll probably be putting up some scans on Old School Freak as well myself. And I finished a couple of articles. I finished my Hacking Google AdWords article, which I did a few episodes ago. I gave some of the stuff out on the air. I got a few more things and put them into this article, which I'm really proud of. I really think this is one of my better articles, personally. And I submitted it to 2600 actually yesterday, or day before yesterday. So that might actually end up being a big story or big article because of the potential that people can do with some of the tricks and things that I pointed out in there. So, and because they're Google, that's a big name. So I don't know how the article is going to go over, but... that one may be interesting, and I finished another article I was working on and submitted it as well. Been sending out magazine orders. They're still going out. I usually go once every week, sometimes only every 2 weeks, depending on what my time frame is like, and I go after work, and I go out to the, I don't know about your Slip Mode, maybe you can help me with this. Do you have a kiosk machine that you can mail stuff yourself at your post office?
Yeah, we do.
Okay, that's what I use. I usually, because I, you know, I have to go after work and the post office is closed. So I go out there and I mail everything and send it out that way and put it all on my credit card and all that good stuff. But you know what? The only country that's not on the list is the UK. United Kingdom does not show up on a freaking kiosk.
Oh, wow.
And I'm sure you might not have, probably haven't had the opportunity to look for it, but I couldn't find UK, United Kingdom, England. I looked for everything, and I can't find any way to do it. So if I get orders from there, which I do occasionally, we do actually, we got quite a few, I have to go out on my lunch break and mail those. So I've got a couple right now. If you're in England and you're listening to the show, if you're out in the United Kingdom somewhere, you're listening to the show, yours are going to take an extra couple days when I can get out on my lunch break and mail them for you. But I do have the orders, and I have, I think, two or three that need to go out right now. So I have to go do that on lunch sometime this week. And just for anybody who's interested, the shipping is kind of expensive over there, too. Anything to Europe, for the most part, is $8 or $9 shipping for a three-pack. If you order all three of the magazines, it's going to cost you, like, $8 to England, and I think $9 for just about everywhere else in Europe. Somewhere, something like that. I check them on a case-by-case basis, so... other than that, I've been doing a little maintenance here in my personal lab. I screwed up, a long story short, I screwed up my local storage area network that I bragged about on the show a while back. I set it up for spanning, but I never set it up for, well, actually, I set it up for as a dynamic disk, but I never set up spanning, so I don't have any redundancy in there. So now I have to go through the process of backing up all that data. The whole point was to have all my data centralized. Now I have to go and take it off of that and decentralize it and put it on a bunch of external hard drives on USB cases temporarily to redo the damn thing now. So I'm having to undo all that work and redo it again. So that's from me screwing up. And as I mentioned before, we saw Sin City. And I'm not going to waste time talking about that, but that movie was E-fucking-leet. That movie was so awesome. Incredibly violent, I have to warn you. Very violent. Kind of, I mean, you could kind of say it's cartoon violence, but it's really not. It's pretty gory, grotesque in parts. But stylistically, it is magnificent. It's a beautiful movie. And a lot of people know that it's very heavy on CGI as far as not like 3D type stuff like Shrek or Toy Story or that type of stuff, but a lot of backgrounds and scenes were done in CGI. They're fantastic to the point that I really honestly believe you could take a still frame from any point in this movie and it would be a work of art. It's just incredible how well they integrated all that stuff. So, that's enough for me. Why don't you, I know, you know what, let's take a minute, Slip, if you will. I know you didn't plan to do this or come on to do this, but let's let everybody know who doesn't already know about In the Now.
Okay. Well, yeah, In the Now. Shoot, we've been doing that since 2001.
Wow.
And it's over there on slipnet.org. And, you know, it kind of started out just me and my friend VR, which you'll see who's on the show, most of the shows. We used to play a lot of pool back in the day, and then after we're done playing pool, we just kind of go out and, you know, shoot the shit in the parking lot until like 5 in the morning. We just talk about all sorts of different things that we were interested in, you know, so that kind of thing, I said, you know, why don't we just, like, record this? Why don't we do something with this and, you know, just put it down. If anybody wants to listen to it and they enjoy it, they can jump in on the conversation and just kind of, like, spread the news and all that. So, you know, went into doing that, and we've been doing it, you know, pretty strong. We get, I don't know, we had over 1,000 downloads last month. You know, we get quite a bit of listeners, and we talk a lot about like the social issues of technology. You know, the world is, you know, constantly changing around us. People are integrating more of technology and systems and functionality into their, you know, cars, computers, banking, you know, their entire life. And there's a lot of issues with that. There's, you know, there's positive sides and negative sides, and we like to cover, you know, all the things that are currently going on. Sometimes we delve into a little bit of science. Sometimes we, you know, we spend a lot of stuff talking about, you know, Linux open source community, stuff like that, you know, software, a lot of things that corporations are doing, people getting attacked for doing things that they probably shouldn't be getting attacked as much as they are getting attacked for. And, you know, we just talk a lot about different issues that I think that hit a lot of different people, and I don't think a lot of people, I don't think there's a lot of shows out there that talk about that stuff. I know BinRev covers some things, you know,
Old School Freak was covering
things, you know, and there's other shows out there, and we have affiliates on our website that you'll see one of them is BinRev as well. You'll see that you can go to their shows as well and check out their information, but when we were first doing the show, there wasn't a lot of people out there that talked about that kind of stuff, so I wanted to bring a medium of information out there that I didn't see was very popular at that time, but it's growing, and a lot of people are spreading the news, and I think it's a good thing, and that awareness is pretty important, so that's what we do over there.
Right, and I'm glad you mentioned that, you know, like the science. I was going to make sure I brought that up if you didn't, is you guys, and you're absolutely correct in what you said about BinRev. There's nothing wrong with that. We do focus on tech. I try to stay away from, because you know what, it just becomes too all-encompassing for me. I like the purity of the tech, and we focus on that on the show. It's tech, and we try to have a little fun joking and laughing while we're doing it. You do a much better job, and that was my cell phone blinging on the air. Somebody sent me a message. You do a much better job of balancing so many different things. It is also tech, but it also touches on science, like you said, politics, just general free thinking, and just all kinds of different things. And it's also very professionally done. It is one of the most dependable, reliable shows format-wise. You always know what you're getting into. You guys sit down, you know what you're going to talk about. There's never any, I'm sure there's occasions, don't get me wrong, where you might be flying by the seat of your pants at the last minute, kind of like we are now. But
yeah.
Usually you do a really good job in preparing. You have topics in advance. You know what you're going to talk about. Maybe not exactly what you'll say, of course. But having stuff prepared ahead of time, and I personally think it is a very good show, and give you nothing but good things to say about it. And obviously, we have it on DDB Hack Radio because of that very reason. You're in the rotation. We play old episodes, past episodes get randomly played during the day, and the latest episode, which comes out every 2 weeks, I don't know if you said that, every other week. And we play that every Wednesday night on DDB Hack Radio. So you can always check out the new issues there or, again, downloadable on slipnet.org.
Absolutely. Yeah, I appreciate all the comments, Stink. We do it every 2 weeks. My life is pretty packed, actually, and sometimes it takes me a minute to get the shows up there, but we do get them all up there. And one thing that I like to do, too, and I know Stink does it, too, for his show notes is, you know, I like to give very detailed show notes. Everything that we cover, whatever, you can actually go and read, you know, that story if you want to delve into it and like it a little deeper. Mm-hmm. And then obviously, you know, we put the forums up, too, for people. We've had people, you know, post their own topics because that's really what it's all about, the whole sharing of information, stuff like that. And we've had plenty of people post their own topics about things that they'd like to have talked about. And, you know, we integrate those in the show and in show notes. We have all the everything we talked about, links to where the news came from, and then also, you know, me and VR, we've been friends forever. I mean, I think I've known him for over 10 years, and, you know, we're very much in sync, and we have our own, you know, things that I think I compliment him, and he compliments me, and I think that really mixes well into the show. And then also, the... let's see, skip my head there. But, yeah, but we have that there for download. We do it every 2 weeks. I'd like to do it weekly, but... Maybe sometime in the future, after I get out of school, we'll get out of that pretty soon here, so maybe I'll have more time to do that. But
totally relate
but yeah,
to that.
It's been a really great experience for me, and I've learned, you know, quite a bit doing it, and I enjoy giving out any information I can.
Yeah, we totally relate to that. We've talked about it on the show. Real life always takes precedence, and you do as much as you can around real life. So believe me, I know how difficult it is putting out this show every week. And quite frankly, I don't know what the future of this is. We might have to switch to a biweekly format. I really don't know what it's going to be until my life settles down and we make some decisions. But absolutely very, very good stuff. Now, did you have any other show and tell or any other stuff you've been working on or cool things lately? Or did you want to – is your show and tell going to be our main topic tonight? Did you want to move into that yet or –
Yeah, actually, I have been, the topic that we kind of talked about when we were preparing for the show, yeah, I said I was working on that as well, so we can definitely move into that.
Well, let's move on.
And I've been playing around with a few things and, you know, like to share that with the listeners.
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing we're talking about is, and this is show and tell for you because you've actually been doing this. Me, I've only read about it so far. I have not actually gotten down to the nitty-gritty and thrown this on my laptop and started playing with it yet. But where I found out about it via Voodoo Hal. Voodoo Hal actually sent me a link to, and found out about it on Security Focus is where I've been reading mostly about it. And there's a couple different places and some mixed information, and actually Slip's going to give us some of that as well. But basically there is a new way, I shouldn't even say a new way to crack WEP, because you don't need to crack WEP anymore. You know, WEP encryption, which is tools like AirSnort and things like that that have been developed, that if you listen and basically sniff enough packets and save them, you can brute force attack these things by breaking them apart and looking for certain what they call interesting packets or special packets that have a weak... There's a flaw in the encryption algorithm, and if you find some weak packets, they can be more easily cracked than others. So you can gather a bunch of those together, and the more weak packets you get, the faster your brute force works, and you can actually crack WEP and therefore access an encrypted wireless network. You don't
have to do that anymore.
Just
sit there and try to crack away at the time. Like if you use Kismet or something like that and you do a dump, you could just dump all the data all you want and then parse all that data through your cracker at any time you want, you know, whenever you want to do that. And then actually once it's cracked, then you can apply the web key to it and open it back up.
Right. And some of the ways to fight back against that are some places will change the web key every 10 days or 2 weeks or a month or something like that, because it can take that long, if not longer, if you don't have enough packets to get that thing cracked. So there's some safeguards to that. Well, you don't have to crack WEP anymore. There's a new technique out there that's been developed that, I guess before we go into it, maybe we should have a couple of definitions here. First of all, there's a couple terms we're going to use, and let's define them up front. Do you think that's a good way to approach this?
Yeah, absolutely. Lay the base and then move
right
into it.
Like a man in the middle is a term you're going to hear. A man in the middle attack, or just man in the middle, just to define that. It's actually a self-defining term in a way. A man in the middle is if you are at point A trying to access point B. So you're the user at home trying to access, I don't know, a website or whatever. The man in the middle attack, or what a man in the middle is when you come in between A and B and stick yourself somewhere in the middle. Now, as far as the attacks go, generally what they refer to as a man in the middle attack is that you set yourself in the middle somehow and collect packets coming from A, intercept them, and either look at them or twist them, change them, for example, and then send them on to B after all. So nobody knows that you're there. You're in the middle, you're handing stuff off, but you're changing things as you go along. Or you're just plain sniffing things, like, I don't know, you could, you know, man-in-the-middle attacks can be used to fish credit card numbers and things like that. That's what being a man...
There's also modifying from B back to A as well.
Exactly, and vice versa, absolutely. So you can change, I don't know, to make up an example, you send an email to somebody saying, I love you, they can easily intercept it coming in, change it to say, I hate you, and send it back to that person. That person replies back, says, yeah, well, screw you too. They can change that, send it back that says, I love you too. Nobody knows that the whole thing was intercepted because they didn't, you know what I mean? So that's what a man in the middle is. And it's important to understand that concept because that's related to this new technique, because it's the way it works is something else that's related to man in the middle is packet injection. And that is kind of what I described as part of the actual process, to inject packets into that stream that's already going on between A and B. For example, I were to inject credit card information or a phone number or something on at the end of it. Like, let's say somebody sends an order, whether it be through a web form or an email. I'd like to order 500 shirts. Printed with Binary Revolution logo, here's my credit card number, whatever. They send that across. Well, packet injection could take that and then send a subsequent packet of either more information, modified the email, or just a new email. So many different possibilities that says, oh, I changed my mind, add 500 more onto that order. And I, of course, I'm just making up a totally fictitious example here. But injecting
packets. There's even a malicious way to do it. It's where you'd, you know, somebody says, I want to go to, I don't know, bankofamerica.com, and the man in the middle says, okay, we'll give you bankofamerica.com, but what it actually gives you is a fake bankofamerica.com, and they're doing a phishing attack, and they're trying to get you to trust them and, you know, give your information.
Right, yeah, phishing is very much related to man in the middle. That's a very good example. So those things being said, there's really no need exactly to decode or crack WEP anymore because of this new technique. And I think you can probably put this into words better than I can, like I said, because you've done it. I can regurgitate some terms and how it works, but why don't you kind of start and go with it, and let's see where this goes.
Okay, well, I've been playing around with a program that actually was used back on DEF CON 12 to play, you know, some jokes on the people that were on the wireless network. Basically, it's a program called AirPwn. It's, you know, AIRPWN. And what it does is it works on the TCP layer only. It only understands TCP packets, so nothing UDP or anything like that. So it does have some limitations. It doesn't work on WEPT networks, so it has to be unWEPT network. You know, maybe the guy actually had some code for a WEPT network, but it's not. You know, I don't know of any code released for it. So the network has to be unWEPT, and there's a lot of unWEPT networks out there. But basically, this program was made kind of like as a prank, but also to, you know, show some more insecurities in wireless and whatnot. So what it does is, and I'll briefly describe it, then I'll kind of get into how it works. What it does basically is, when you're out there on a wireless network, you send information over to what's called as the access point, and that's what's serving you everything on the wireless network. And you know, you send things out. I want to go to a web page. I want to do this. I want to do that. And the access point receives that information, goes out to the internet, grabs your web page, sends it back to you. Well, what if there was a man in the middle where you have, let's say, a laptop, and you're at this place, let's say a coffee house or something like that, or DEF CON or wherever, and they send out a packet, your laptop grabs it because it's freely, it's open in the air, your laptop grabs it, and then it sends a packet back before the access point does. And your client is going to interpret that packet as if it was the correct packet. And what this program does is it emulates the access point. It looks like it came from the access point. Oh. It's the correct, you know, sequence number. Everything is correct, and your machine is accepted. Now, the access point is still going to send back its packet that you requested. But what's going to happen is that since your laptop sent it back before the access point, that your client sees that extra packet that came from the access point and says, well, we already received this packet. You're sending all data, and it drops it.
Right.
So basically, you're doing a man in the middle, and you have the ability to send them anything you want in response to, you know, certain things. Now, the way the program works is there is a few rules in there. And what it does, it says basically, and you can write your own rules. It's totally customizable. It comes with a few of them on its own. But it says basically, here's the hardware. Here's the hardware spec of it. You have, the way I have it, so I have a laptop. I have one card that listens, and I have one card that serves. The card that served, it's a Prism 2.5 chipset, and I had to flash it and make sure that it had the most, the newest firmware. My older firmware had a problem.
Right.
And so it's pretty much that. And you have to make sure that and I have an Orinoco card, that's the one that's listening. You have to make sure it supports monitor mode. You have to have, the host AP drivers for the Prism card. The host AP drivers basically allows your Linux computer to act as an access point. You have to make sure you patch your Orinoco driver, make sure it can be put into monitor mode. So there's a lot of prep that's involved, actually. And actually, the AirPwn program itself, when you compile it, it's actually going to give you an error. It says that your libpcap is broken. You have to actually edit the make file and add the libpcap library in there and point to where it is. So there's it actually took a minute for me to put this all together, and it was kind of tough, but we got it. I got it all put together. But so when it receives the information, it says, okay, if this has a, you know, get JPEG or something like that, where your request from the client says, I want to view this website, and in that website there's some JPEGs, and it wants to grab that. It says, okay, if you see that, then do this. And then what it does is, for instance, in like the default rules, it'll send its own JPEG across, like owned, or they're
at DEF CON
12, they're using the Goatsy JPEG,
that's
pretty bad.
Yeah, that was not
and,
cool.
You know, so actually, so everything on the page that was a JPEG would be replaced with the JPEG that you specified. And you can write all sorts of rules for all sorts of different things. I mean, you can get pretty deep into what you can spoof on the page. You know, if the page, if you go to like, I don't know, CNN.com or whatever, it says, you know, if there's this text on the webpage, replace it with this. And you can do quite a bit. But there are some limitations. If you do send a JPEG or anything like that, the whole JPEG has to fit within one packet. It doesn't send a series of packets. Everything fits into one packet. So there are some limitations to that. You know, JPEG size can only be a certain size, or BMP, or anything. Everything has to fit into one packet. Now, if you're scripting stuff, I mean, that's easily going to fit into a packet, but your images, you got to make sure you keep the size down. And there's a lot of technical details. If you send an image over, you actually have to put the HTML text in the image at the very beginning of it to post, to be able to post for it to parse it. It'll say, you know, content type, image, JPEG, stuff like that.
Right.
Because the browser is going to read that and post the image. So there's a lot of detail. There's a lot of hacking to get this whole thing to work. But the magnitude of what you could use it for could be, you know, quite a bit of stuff. I mean, you can use it from the malicious end to, like, the non-malicious end. Maybe the non-malicious end is you have your own web cafe, and you want to shoot an advertisement on their page every few views or something like that.
That's non-malicious?
So, you know, and that's your web cafe, and maybe you provide free internet, and, you know, so you actually have a business of getting some people you know, give you money to do advertisements, and you can put advertisements on the page and stuff like that. Or you can use it maliciously and do a phishing attack, like I was saying before, where people are going to one site, redirect them to a whole other site, and that site's specifically designed to look like the original site. And, you know, so you can do quite a bit of malicious things. You can do a lot of fun prank things to it. There's a lot of room for play. But once again, you can't use it if it's a web network,
right.
And only works on the TCP level.
Right, and actually that's where I was going to take this a step further, is that now, using that same technique, see, that is the first volley, if you will, or the first application of packet injection man in the middle in that method, but it's gone a little bit further since then. And that I was going to go into that security focus. Unfortunately, we're about out of time, I'm afraid. So I'm going to have to go into this on another show. However, the long and short of it is that you do not need to worry about WEP anymore. There's a method in whereby you can sniff enough packets and find enough information about all the different types of packets and protocols and stuff like that that will allow you to inject encrypted packets. It doesn't matter if you can decode them or not. If you can find and inject the information that you want into them, you don't have to bother brute forcing and decoding it anymore. And unfortunately, I am going to have to leave that for another time. I hate to leave people hanging on that note, but that's the direction I was going to go. But like I said, we're going to have to close up here because it is about, actually, we're right on time. So, unless you had something else you wanted to add, I guess we should probably move into the closing segments.
I think that's it. You can grab AirPwn on SourceForge. You can also just Google it up. You'll get the page that talks about all the fun that they had at DEF CON and all that stuff. So,
yeah, the Goatsy guy, yeah.
Yeah, and if you have any questions, of course, you can always email me over at slipnet.org. Just check out my email address over there, and you know, help anybody out.
Or, of course, you can email us. Our email address here is radio@benrev.com. And, of course, I'll forward anything, but I'm sure you can find Slipmo's email address pretty easily as well. Our site of the week this week is nauticon.org, N-O-T-A-C-O-N.org, because this weekend will be Nauticon, April 8th through 10th, up there at the Mistake on the Lake, as they like to refer to it. I'm sure they don't like to refer to it that way, but some people refer to it. So, nauticon.org, check out their speaker list, and check out the conference if you can make it. And shouts for the week. Shouts, I'll kick some out to Voodoo Hal, and I'll pause and give you time to think there a little bit. I'll give shouts to Voodoo Hal, to Dr. Chaos up there in Atlanta, and to our moderating group, Droops, Strom Carlson, Doug, Logosex, Icon, all those guys doing a great job moderating the forums. And Slip Mode, what do you got? Shout outs.
I got shouts out to Decoder. Hope everything's working out for him. And also the whole HackerMind channel over on Espernet.
Cool. And our closing music this week is, I went back and picked a track from our good friend Zurl. This is a track called Not Normal. And Slip Mode, thank you, my friend, for doing the show with us. We've got to do more. I can't believe it took us 90 episodes before we were able to hook up and do this. So we definitely got to do some more soon. But,
absolutely. I appreciate you having me. It's a great show.
Yeah, I appreciate it. And again, check out In the Now on DDP Hack Radio every Wednesday night or over at slipnet.org. And that's me pimping the show, not you. Don't worry. And I think that's going to do it. Thank you again for being on the show, especially at the last minute like this. And we're going to cut, edit, mix, encode, and upload this show right now. We will see you guys next week. Same hack time.
Same hack channel.
The revolutionary no son gentleman. The revolutionary people are not normal people.
Son solo forces.
That I can assure you.
My life's a collage of nicks and scratches, making revolution in batches. My life's a collage of nicks and scratches, making revolution in batches. What's the price of freedom? I lost my wits, got wrong. No more patience with the system. I dedicated my life to overcome. I vote with my pistol. This world's a ghetto. Day F.A. Rio, Baghdad, Richmond, or Bristol. You ain't done shit, but make me mo-po. Try to break me, make me ho-mo. Deep in the jungle, the people rumble. I hear revolution, the system crumbles. Oh, show, you can count me in, cause I know that we can win. When you're ready, just say go. Please go on the count of four. We house the homeless and we free the hoes. Now the foe, run with us. Peep it, you can come with us. Just know, you better be in it for the long haul. Cause we've been at the long crawl. Get out, fuck it. We're just crabs in the bucket. My life's a collage of nicks and scratches, making revolution in batches.
Revolutionary no son gentlemen. Revolutionary people are not normal people.
That I can assure you.
My life's a collage of nicks and scratches, making revolution in batches. My life's a collage of nicks and scratches, making revolution in batches. Welcome to revolution, where the radicals hang, where the militants bang. Hear the rattle, feel the fang. I'm taking socialism to the streets and start a real gang. We're talking about Marx and Che in the cafe. I'm gonna make these bugs money pay. Time so shallow, no excuse to be a youth so callow. Living in the belly of the beast, watching the window as the rich feast. It seems you're caught in the middle, right between sour and sweet. Don't play second fiddle, we fight for equal peace, not utopian peace. We answered the riddle and we didn't need preacher or priest. Big change coming while you diddle. Economic future lies in the east. We become bigger while you're little. My life's a collage of nicks and scratches, making revolution in batches.
The revolutionary people are not normal people.
That I can assure you.
My life's a collage of nicks and scratches, making revolution in batches. Protect my dumb with a thimble. My people eat like pigeons do crumbs. When you daydream of pussy and what will fill you, I'm trying to glean a way to crush the system and kill you. Real gangsters don't kill each other. RBGs kill Big Brother. I ride for the masses. Fuck these upper classes. Do your dirt in the suburbs. The rich thought they escaped us. Special delivery, you heard. Benzes and Jags, I swerve. My rage is
for the man above the prison warden, whose boss is the boss of my guard. I'm crazed, I can't stand it. I sharpened my toothbrush and smeared it with shit. On the yard, all the uniforms get hit. You started a firestorm by making a sit. My life's a collage of nicks and scratches, making revolution in batches. Making revolution in batches. What is war but the growth of capitalism? Death hath no glory, it's just a greedy expanse of system. SUV and thirst for oil, with our cash and bombs we control the soil. While the third world is hungry and cold, hey young world, lay the toil. We're the cobra coil, the pot of the boil. We could be engines but caboose. You attack me with your fang and your tooth, hang and bang my comrades from your gun and noose. When you try to steal gold from the goose, the chickens are coming home to roost. Trying to steal freedom. Psst, come on, man, what you got to lose? Give me a boost through this window, past the sleeping dragon and his horde. So long I've been Poe, that's what I gotta say when they ask me what I did it for.